Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase. Did you know that Jeremy and Joe is both a radio show and a podcast? You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever it works for you.
Here's the snap. Orbit motion. It's a reverse. Olave going Philly special, and it's intercepted by Cole Bishop at the two-yard line, and up the sideline he goes. What a play by Cole Bishop.
You think if Bill Belichick is watching that game, he gets mad? Against the Philly special, it's against the Patriots. And when it gets picked off, it looks like the dumbest play ever. Like, yeah, that play looks dumb.
Looks so easy against...
We got cooked in the Super Bowl on it.
Right.
And it's tough. It's Buffalo Bills Football Monday, and highlights of the game brought to you by Northland Workforce Training Center. Train for what's next. Let's get you some of the Skyworks stats of the game. Brought to you by Skyworks Equipment Rental, building America from the ground up. James Cook had 22 carries, 117 yards and a touchdown, 12 rushing yards over expected. One of the things I like to point out about James Cook, 12 might not sound like a lot, but in a game, unless you break a big one, had 42 yards on one carry against the Jets. And the number one player in the NFL at rushing yards over expected is David Montgomery, who busted one against the Ravens.
Like a 75-yard run.
Yeah. So you're going to get those big ones. And other than that, you're just picking off pieces. One way to look at this is percentage of rushes where you get yards over expected. And where does James Cook rank in that metric? Fourth in the NFL. He is 1.26 rush yards over expected per attempt, which is pretty darn good. A lot of the guys ahead of him are not guys that carry it a lot, but he's been great. He's a yards over expected top 10 back now, looking for his third straight year. He looks like a feature back. He's exciting, and I kind of don't want to imagine this offense without him. I mean, we spent some of training camp and the preseason wondering what it would look like without him. And the Bills do not want to look at this offense without him because he is getting a workload.
He's on pace for over 300 carries.
Will he get there? I mean, he stays healthy. Will he get there?
It's got to come down a little, right? He's not 21, 19, 22 are his attempts in his last three games. That Jet game, by the way, is a game that it's out of hand, and he's still got the 21. I don't know. Isn't he going to fall back around 15 at some point? At this rate, do they feel like they're going to gas him out or they're going to not use him up, but how much do they want him beat by the time they get to the playoffs?
It's a great question. It's why in the fourth quarter I tweeted and I asked the question, can Ray Davis get a sniff? I want Ray Davis in the fourth quarter to handle the ball instead of Cook because I got to make sure he's healthy.
You said you don't want to imagine a team without James Cook. You want to talk about running back at the trade deadline then? Because if they're an injury away from, you want to go trade for Alvin Kamara?
Maybe. He looked pretty good.
Maybe?
Do you know the last Bills running back to have 300 carries in a season?
McCoy probably did it, right?
No. McCoy never did it.
All their other backfields were like, because Fred always had to split it with Spiller, and Spiller had to split it with Fred, and Lynch. Lynch didn't get it, right?
Nope. This is a franchise that spent a decade drafting running backs. Last running back to have the...
I'm going to say McGahee definitely did it.
325.
Yeah, okay.
20 years ago, 300 carries for McGahee.
Cook for 300 carries. McGahee, man, such a big number.
McGahee did it. Travis Henry did it twice. Thurman did it, of course. Thurman had 355 one year.
And then O.J. probably did it every single year.
O.J. had 332. That's in 14 games, and 329 in 14 games.
237 is Cook's high. So that would be 63 higher than his career high.
Yeah. We'll see how they manage
him. They did pay him.
We'll see.
They paid him.
He's earning it. John in Detroit. Hey, John. Good morning.
Hey, guys. Love your show. I watch it every morning.
Thanks, John.
I guess, I go back to the AFC Championship and a very disheartening loss. I thought we were the better team. And if you read some of the comments from the Bills players, they said the Chiefs, on offense and defense were running things that they didn't see all year. And then I go back to the opening day Ravens game, and when there was like 5 or 6 minutes left, it's like the Bills' talent just jumped off the screen. When they really had to have it, they just exploded. It reminded me of the old game in 1990 when they came back for the Raiders, some of those older fans. It was just an incredible comeback. And I'm watching some of these games, even the Jets game, I think they were up 20-3, and they handed it off on 3rd and 5, and then they kicked the field goal. This is maybe an arrogant question as a Bills fan, but it just feels this way. Do you think they're holding things back this year? Not that they're not trying to win, but did they learn a very tough lesson in that AFC championship? And I'm interested in your guys' comments. I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, thanks, John. I've wondered this a little bit. I've wondered this on the kickoffs. Mm-hmm. I'll get back to the idea about the offense, but the kickoff is teams are just doing so many different things. The Rams doing that knuckleball kick they did against the Eagles last week. And, mm-hmm. you know, if you discovered something you thought could work and be really smart on kickoffs, could you just save it all the way until the most important game of your season? Then you decide to bust it out in the divisional round or whatever. Could the Bills be holding something back? I don't know. I think what happened in the Baltimore game is what's happened a lot, which is they start passing the ball more. And when they pass it, they get better returns because Josh Allen's one of the best quarterbacks at passing the football in the NFL, or mm-hmm. he runs it. And earlier in the game, they were a little conservative. And, mm-hmm. you know, like, what else happened in that Baltimore game? The Ravens backed off. They stopped playing press coverage. They start giving these really big soft zones, thinking the Bills don't have the time to come back, and the Bills got a bounce along the way, too. So, you know, can they open it up whenever they want to? I'm not so sure about that. They say they can. I'm not so sure they can open up whenever they want to. I know it's definitely in there, and Allen can do pretty much whatever he wants to a lot. But if they can open it up whenever they want to, would they mm-hmm. not have tried a little harder at the end of the first half in this game? Like, hey, if we want to, we can just do this, right?
Yeah.
No, the Saints are going to back off and play prevent and, you know, put a lot of guys, a big shell on it, so then you can't, all right, we'll run the ball. We got a penalty. We'll take what's there. But to the general question, could they be holding stuff back?
I had that thought when the Kincaid touchdown happened. Because that's a 2-point game in the fourth quarter, right? And the Saints had just come very close to taking the lead right before that. And maybe they thought, all right, let's go. Hammer down. And they call that touchdown play to Kincaid. And it works easily, yep. right? And my immediate thought was, did they have that play all day? And, like, you know, we'd like to not have to use this play. But, all right, game's close, fourth quarter, here yeah. we go.
You do see them set that up.
That play, which, by the way, I knew I had remembered it. It's the Allen touchdown to Jason Kroom in the Vikings game in his rookie season.
Yeah.
And I tweeted that out. And they've run that play a couple times in Allen's career. But it's all, like, years apart. So they ran it against the Vikings in Allen's rookie year. They ran it against the Dolphins in that week 3 game. Gabe Davis was the guy who caught it when they beat him like 48-20 right after the 70-point game. And then they ran it yesterday.
Yeah.
And it's like just that same fake flat to the running back, up guy wide open on the sideline. And that was a play where I thought after, are they happy at the end of that day that they put that play on tape and they didn't save it for a playoff game? Because probably are some plays. I wonder this, but does Joe Brady have a page of plays where he's like, try not to use until January?
Right,
is the title of the page.
But you feel like you need it. The only thing I'd say about the idea of hiding that play: why did it work so well? Who covered Kincaid? A defensive end.
Right,
he's covered by a defensive end on the play. Carl Granderson is trying 6'5", 261, is trying to run with Kincaid and carry him into his zone. And, like, Josh Allen sees that and is like, okay.
What's funny is these other couple times they've ran it in the past, there was, like, nobody covering them.
Yeah.
So, something about that play always seems to work.
I mean, it's a defensive end running with Allen. Or, sorry, running with Kincaid.
Yeah.
He doesn't even really – I'm watching again here. He looks to the back, and, you know, they run a little motion there. He looks quickly, and then he turns, and it's over. You can see right here. Here's Dalton Kincaid running up the sideline, and – the defensive end passes him off to no one because the safety's not there.
Right.
So, like, there's a breakdown there, but I don't know that.
It's all guessing, though. Like, you can't really know
if
right?
they hold stuff back,
what they'd be holding. Well, you would know once they run plays in the playoffs that you've never seen before.
Right.
And I feel like we often see that more with Kansas City than we do with the Bills. But maybe the Bills are going to do it different. DJ in Lockport. Hey, DJ, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. So, I guess, I don't know if it's my eternal optimism, but I'm on the other side of the boat with this game, and a lot of these games, I feel like New Orleans brought their A game yesterday. I'd rather want to win a game for one. And to me, it's been the Bills being a great team at just winning games, not necessarily being, you know, the defensive team, the best offensive team. I feel like 85-90% of the teams in the NFL, they lose that game yesterday in New Orleans, a la the Chargers losing to the Giants. I think the Bills pulled that one out. It's a good thing knowing that you know, New Orleans brought their A game. They were playing hard. They were playing physical. Rattler was running the ball well when he needed to. I just see it as a testament to their greatness of knowing how to win games. Even though that team brought their A game, we still won it by double digits. We still hit our 30 mark. And I don't see it as a negative at all. I feel like you win the game, you move on to the next one, and you don't look back. And I still want to say real fast, Joe, I still think Allen could score a point in the NBA. So, one way.
Jeez.
So,
thanks,
good
DJ.
Day, guys.
Yeah, it's one point I'd made going into the game. Like, I don't think Rattler is, granted, he's never won an NFL start.
0-10.
That's tough. But going in, I thought, this guy I don't think is an embarrassment to the position. Sometimes you get games where it's horrible.
There were some Carson Wentz plays yesterday where I had that thought of him again.
Right.
Can you not take a sack once,
The
please?
Saints have played four games, and they have been competitive in three of them. They were not competitive last week against the Seahawks. They're down 38-6 at halftime. Other than that, they've been competitive. They lost to the Cardinals by 7, the Niners by 5. I think this is a team that I'm thinking back to when the Bills.
The Mac Jones Niners, right, by the way?
Yeah, that's right. Sure. That's right. I mean,
doesn't matter. Whatever. Technicality.
No, you're right. They're missing a lot of pieces there, and Mac Jones went for 279 and 3 touchdowns.
But that's right. The first two were one-score games.
But Rattler threw 3 touchdowns against the Niners. 207 and 3 touchdowns.
Right, and that's the Niners' defense.
Yeah.
Bosa's not hurt yet, so.
Yeah. Maybe they're a little bit like the 4-12 Bills that started 0-8. If you remember that team, they were 0-8, and people were kind of proud of the way they played all the time. We knew they weren't good. And like, you know what, though? Whatever. I'm not saying like we were puffing our chest out at 0-8. But it was just, they play hard. It was a Fitz team that was 0-8, and they played hard. And they were scrappy, and they lost. And we kind of wanted them to win a game because it looked like, man, this team does not give up. And I feel like the Saints might have a little bit of that. I thought their defense played with some juice. I thought their pass rush definitely played with some juice. They got Allen on the ground 3 times.
That does not happen.
No.
Now, we're two. Well, one of them was Vandermark, right?
Yep.
One was Vandermark. So I guess maybe no Spencer Brown helps that a little bit, but right, that does. When's the last time Allen even has taken 3 sacks in a game? Years?
I don't know about years. It probably happened recently. It is rare.
He went on a stretch last year where he went like 5 games without taking a sack at all.
Yeah.
So it's probably been a while.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Jeremy White
and Joe DiBiase,
and we host Jeremy and Joe, your daily destination for Buffalo sports talk.
All Bills, all Sabres, all the time.
Did you know that Jeremy and Joe is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for Jeremy and Joe, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
What a blessing. You've got a great staff around me through the years, really good, great players around me, and can't do this job by yourself. Extremely grateful. Grateful to the fans, too, because a lot of those wins have happened at home. So they played a big part in it.
Sean McDermott, postgame, his 90th win as head coach of the Bills, asked about that. Bills moved to 4-0. Back here today to talk about it on a Buffalo Football Victory Monday reaction show on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I said hi to the bullpen on the way out of the break, and there's a few names I missed, and I wasn't trying to do that. I just didn't see you. But JT, I got you, buddy. I see you. And go Bills and Tyron and Phillip and everybody, Mike B, Seabass. So there you go. Tony. I could go through it for days, but I got to take phone calls. So you guys keep doing what you're doing, and we'll keep the show rolling here with Mike in Maryland. Hi, Mike. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. Happy Victory Monday. Wanted to talk about Colt Bishop. I've been waiting for this guy. It's been a year and a half, right?
Yeah, I think everybody has. I think the Bills have.
Yeah, drafted out of Utah, I think. Never saw him in college. Read about how athletic this guy was. I think he had like a 9.4 out of 10 in PFF rating in terms of athleticism. And, man, did he show up yesterday right in front of us. We were at the game, me and my buddies.
Yeah.
He goes up like Dennis Rodman on maybe the most important play of the game.
Yep.
To keep him from scoring and double dipping and going ahead and maybe going ahead by, you know, a touchdown or more after they double dipped, and he comes down with the biggest play of the game. Incredible.
Yeah, it was right in front of me too. I was literally standing right there at the pylon, and I had no idea he was there, and then all of a sudden he just came out of nowhere. And for him to read the play, that's the other thing about this, Mike. It wasn't just the athletic play he made. Yes, that was part of it. It was he made a play where he read it and then saw it and trusted it, and that's the confidence he's gaining by getting the reps that Sean McDermott said he needed to get. So great play by Colt Bishop all around. I agree with you. That was the play of the game that really kind of helped the Bills kind of stay where they were score-wise and not go, you know, double-dip, like you said, for New Orleans, and then allow themselves a little room in the second half as the game went on. Steve in Virginia. Good morning, Steve.
Hey, Sal. How you doing today?
Good, buddy.
Hey, to kind of piggyback off of what previous caller said before the break, you know, the teams that we've last faced, the Dolphins and Saints, they're both winless. So you can tell both teams were hungry. It's like, you know, they're trying hard to get that first win. So I'm not worried about that. I mean, we basically got, you know, the Saints and the Dolphins best shots, and we still came out with the win by more than, you know, double digits.
So. Yeah, I mean, you can't be mad at that, right? The result. I think the issue is that, you know, you don't want to be results-based, and we say that all the time, but in the NFL, that's all that matters at the end of the day because that's what determines your record. No one puts an asterisk if you didn't play well over a win. But when you play a certain way and it's not up to your own standard, then that's when people get concerned. And I think the standard has been set so high and the bar has been set so high here in Buffalo. And the fact they haven't won a Super Bowl because of some of these standards not being met in those critical games getting to a Super Bowl, that's what people get concerned about. I get it. But the playoffs don't start tomorrow, as someone said in the bullpen. Thank you. That's right. They don't. You didn't play Kansas City yesterday. You played New Orleans. That was the game that you played to beat them. And guess what? They played a good enough game to beat them. And I think better than people realize numbers-wise. It just didn't feel like it. It didn't flow like it. Again, numbers-wise, 4.6 yards of play, less than 200 yards of offense. Defense did a good job. 3 of 15 on third down for New Orleans. But, yeah, gave up a lot of yards on the ground. Don't want to see that. Spencer Rattler, with his legs, hurt the Bills. That was an issue yesterday. Something that needs to be cleaned up. Offensively, too many penalties, both sides of the ball, but especially on offense, when they had drives they were trying to sustain, they kept knocking them back. Too many sacks. Pass protection was not good. At the end of the day, Josh made a couple critical plays. James Cook ran the ball very well in the second half, and they score 31. And they get a double-digit win. Didn't even cover the spread, but that was a pretty damn high spread. 16.5. Mike in PA, what's going on, Mike?
Hey, Sal, how are you?
Good, bud.
Yeah, you know, I'm not too concerned with the defense and giving up yards because they're going to get new pieces intertwined in there. But I am concerned about this passing offense. I really am. I mean, I like the innovation that they're doing. They're doing three tight ends. They're running. They're running with James Cook. They're relying a lot. I want to see what this offense looks like without James Cook. God forbid him go down. What are we talking about then? Can they spread teams out? They're going to have to do it at some point.
Yeah, I kind of don't want to see what the offense looks like without James Cook. You know what I mean? I hear what you're saying, though. I do. I would say there's a point to be made here that, you know, they're very reliant on James Cook this year, whereas in the past few years, they've kind of had a little bit more of a committee. He's been the guy, but you could bring Ray Davis in. You could bring Ty Johnson in, and those guys really had a role. And I don't know what their role is right now because it's just the James Cook show, basically.
Yeah, and he's running tremendous.
Yes.
I mean, he has an element to our offense that is top five right now from the running back position. But
yeah,
you're right. I got to see more from Ray Davis, Ty Johnson, because it's a physical game. Injuries pop up. And how does our offense morph? But, I mean, I know we have a huge cannon at quarterback. Why are we not going down? Do we just not have the ability to do it? I know they're playing double safeties, high safeties. I get that. You got to find a way to beat it. If they're playing zone, you go in between the zones deep. There's ways to beat it. I mean,
The question is this, and your concern is right, and I get it, that you want to see it because you wonder about it. Can you do it? The question is, do you just do it to do it if they're giving you the other stuff? And Josh Allen's answer is no, that you just take the other stuff.
Yeah, and he's tremendous at it, and he's been checking down. That's the thing about Josh, is he looks in total control,
yes,
similar
agreed.
To like Tom Brady.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think we're going to lose games because he's such in command of the game, and I
yeah.
see it. It's all from start to finish. I just worry about, you know, if we're trailing, do we have enough firepower at the wide receiver position to come back? I know the tight ends are good. It's a concern because I know we're going to have to figure it out. It's gonna creep up in a big opportune game, and we do. We all have PTSD as Bills fans because we can't win the big one when the playoffs come. It's not about the regular season. It's all about the playoffs. But yeah, I mean, that's my concern. Does Dave Davis or Gabe Davis, is he the deep threat going forward? I mean, I don't know. I just got to see something, some explosion and from the offense. That's my concern.
Yeah, you got it. And I think we'd all love to see those explosive plays. They come via the yards after catch a lot of times, like Khalil Shakir yesterday, right? And again, I mean, what you can be results-based and say, but does it matter? They're getting the yards that way as opposed to the other way. No, that's not wrong. But I think that he makes a good point, which is in a game, when you get in a game that's a close game and maybe it gets a little away from you a little bit later and you got to catch up, do you have the pieces to be able to do that? They did against the Baltimore Ravens. And let's remember, they did throw the ball downfield a little bit. Jackson Hawes made a big catch. Keon Coleman made a big catch, a couple of them, down the field. So they had it in that game. You hope you get to a point, and this goes back to your James Cook point, where you're not in that position, and you can just kind of put James Cook on the sideline, let other guys do their job, and then you don't have to worry about any of that stuff. Brent in Rochester. Hi, Brent. You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
So what's up, buddy?
Hey,
quick question. Listening to the guys before you and everything, the deep threat. My question is Terrell Shavers. Well, what is – he's taking up a roster spot. He's a fast dude. Why don't we get him out there? I mean, we haven't seen him. I mean, we haven't seen him. He hasn't been used. Nothing. Like, what's going on with him?
No, he's on the field. He's on the field. I'll look at his snap counts, but he's on the field quite a bit. Let's see. Yesterday, not as much. 24%. Let me see where he was. Hold on. Let me just kind of get you. I know. I think you hung up there, though. And I was trying to help you out, pal. All right. Let me see. I'll get his snap count usage for the first 3 weeks. So I don't think it's as low as you think, but maybe it's a little lower than I think. Let's see. 25 out of 75, 17. Yeah, he hasn't been on the field as much as I thought. They're using him more, 25% total. They're using him more as a blocker and a guy that every once in a while can, you know, come up with a play. But look, I mean, it's not as easy as just you're fast, run down the field. And he's got some speed. He's not a burner necessarily. I think Elijah Moore would be more that guy. But they use him in the role they kind of used Mac Hollins in last year, but throwing him the ball less. So I don't know if Tyrell Shavers is. Hey, if you're going to make a point about the lack of deep threat explosion on the Bills, yeah. I just don't think Tyrell Shavers is the guy that you should be pointing to try and get that from. Matt is up next here on WGR. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Sal, thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I'm a longtime listener, first time caller, and so I'm excited. But before I get to my question, I want to compliment you because we are a passionate fan base, obviously. When I listen to other talk shows, they're kind of nasty when they argue with the fans, and you're always good to us. So I really appreciate that about you.
I have my moments that I regret, but I appreciate that. I try to do my best. Thank you.
You make us feel good, even on bad days. So
thank you.
The one question I wanted to ask, I already touched on it, but One is Ray Davis.
Yep.
Do you read anything into the fact that they don't even really seem to be trying him, other than the fact that James Cook is awesome? And then the second question I wanted to ask you was, which AFC team scares you the most right now? Because it changes for me every week. I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to say.
Yeah, you got it, Matt. First of all, I would like to see more from Ray, but I look at both of him and Ty Johnson not on the field as much as we saw last year, not being used as much, and I wonder if it truly is more of a product of James is cooking, pun intended. I mean, he really is. He's so good, and these are close games, and they need him. And they're using James Cook so much that you're not seeing Ray Davis now. When he's on the field, it hasn't been as productive. I get that, and that's what you'd like to see more of. When he is on the field, you'd like to see more production. Even Ty Johnson. Ty Johnson just has not been as involved, right? And he's a guy that third down back, and we see him on the field, but not getting the touches. And so I want to be careful, Matt, of making this a Ray Davis and Ty Johnson point, because I think it might be a James Cook point, as you brought it up. You know what I mean? And I think that's it. But you'd certainly like to see more production. But let's hopefully this team can get a couple games where they can, you know, get some leads and get these guys in the game and feel a little bit better in what we see from them and keeping James healthy as well, because he's taken on such a load. I would still say the team that concerns me the most might be the Ravens because of the way that they're built and the matchup for the Bills, but certainly their defense has not been up to standard for them. They're very banged up right now, and let's be honest, Matt, anybody who watched the Chiefs yesterday with their offense rolling the way it was, with their receivers coming back, probably is going to tell you, as I will now, the Kansas City Chiefs are starting to be that team again.
Yeah, it's sad to say, but you're right. Thanks for that, Sal.
Yeah, you got it, buddy. Thanks for the phone call and the kind words. Lee in Buffalo. Hi, Lee. You're on WGR.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
Yeah, I have a couple questions. Well, questions or comments. It's like today. I heard it a little bit today. Bills fans, I'm a diehard Bills fan, but I'm getting annoyed when people expect the Bills to blow out the Dolphins, to blow out the Saints. Now there's whispers at work that they expect to blow out the Patriots. And I'll tell you this right now, I'm not a big fan of sitting there saying you got to blow somebody out. A win is a win. And if anybody knows, Mike Vrabel knows, this game Sunday is going to be a dogfight, because Mike Vrabel knows he was on the other side when the Bills were trying so hard to beat Tom Brady and them. Now teams are coming after us because they know we're good. So you're going to get someone's best every single Sunday, because the Bills are at the top of the league. And if anyone knows, it's Mike Vrabel.
Yeah, for sure. Well, hey, I would say those are fans, and fan is short for fanatic, and they're very passionate about their team. But those are people at work that you can choose to listen to or not listen to, or just tell them exactly what you told me, Lee, because I agree with you. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. Thanks for call. We'll take a timeout here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. And more of your phone calls on the way. We'll also get to sit up, stand down, hey, buddy, in the next hour. A lot going on here today. Lots of good calls. I really appreciate it. I said at the top of the show, I'm very curious about your mindset after that game yesterday. And I'm still very curious about your mindset, because you've been bringing it today with a lot of different points and good observations from yesterday.
Snap, fakes the handoff to Cook. Allen going to run it, tucks it, and he reaches the goal line. The beast has been released as he takes it in on a 5-yard touchdown run.
Your player of the game is presented by Highmark Blue Cross Blue Shield. Highmark is the official health plan of the Buffalo Bills, because life. Josh Allen, your player of the game, 16 of 22 passing for 209 yards and 2 touchdown passes. Did have his first interception of the season, but also had 7 carries for 45 yards, which included a 5-yard touchdown run. And as we mentioned, with 1 rushing and 1 passing touchdown, Josh Allen tied Cam Newton for most games with 1 passing and 1 rushing touchdown in NFL history, with 45. Last I checked, Cam Newton doesn't play anymore, so Josh will have that record by himself in the not-too-distant future. So,
yeah,
there it is.
He continues to do stuff nobody else does or has ever done.
Or as much.
Or as much.
Yeah. This guy. Special dude.
Yeah, he is. He's. Talked to his mom and dad yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's cool.
They just, you know, it's just
salt awesome. Of the earth people.
Yeah, they're awesome. Yeah. Just awesome. They during the conversation, they said, "Yeah, he just." His dad said, "I, you know, just and I, because I mentioned the culture and how much Josh is a part of what Sean and Brandon have put together, and the, you know, with Terry all the way from the top, and how the building is these days." Mm-hmm. And they, he just said, "I can't imagine that him." He said he just fell into the perfect, absolute perfect. Yeah. Place
worked
for,
well
for where Josh is, and yeah, it's I got to agree with him.
And I thought it was very telling too yesterday in the post game locker room, you know, piece that you see every week from our excellent video staff that puts that stuff together so quickly and has it out, you know, the same night of the game. And Sean's in there, and you could tell how much he appreciates Josh's will to win. It's not something that you can put into a player or athlete. It is something you either have or do not have. Everybody wants to win, but the internal self-motivation to drive yourself and in turn your team to a victory, that is not taught. I believe it's innate. You either have it or you do not.
Yeah.
There are varying degrees of it. That guy will, you know, stick his head in a fan to win a football game. Like,
there's so many
he
times
will do anything.
Here's why sometimes you see it and notice it and people give him credit for it, and other times they may not. There are so many moments in football games where we always think every third down is this crucial third down. We always think that this has got to be the one. Yesterday, that game was tooling along, and it was a hard-fought game, and the Bills weren't putting these guys away by any stretch of the imagination. But you get down late, and you get into a third and five. I think it was a third and five. And you could just – it's a moment where Josh sees it differently than all of us because he's in the moment. He's in the – he knows how the game has gone. He sees the matchups. He understands what the defense is doing. There's so much acquired knowledge throughout the first 2.5 hours of that football game. He drops back, and he says, all right, this is it. I trust me. And he snaps off a 27-yard run right up between the hash marks, running through, I told you, he's running through their defense like he's running through a cornfield.
Yeah.
And that's where it shows up for people who are like Josh. They've been in that game for 3 hours. They see the matchup. They see what the defense has been doing to them. They see how difficult it has been and how important this moment and what a difference this moment could make. And Josh says, let me just do this.
Yeah.
That's when you get your head coach going, wow, that guy's pretty good. Our guy's good. Yep. You know, and he appreciated him in the postgame locker room.
And it was appropriate. Let's go to the phones for your biggest takeaways from yesterday's victory over the Saints. And we lead off today with Ryan in Toronto. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, Steve. Happy Victory Monday, guys.
Yep.
Honestly, my biggest takeaway is not the offense. The offense is fine. No complaints, none whatsoever. My biggest takeaway is the defense. We cannot be giving up this many points to these winless teams, period. This is not going to get us anywhere. I understand there's injuries on the defense side. I understand there's suspensions. But regardless, This is not unacceptable. Secondly, what's up with these penalties with the Bills? There's too many penalties in the game, I think.
There were yesterday.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and that was another team. They would that was KC, for example, or Baltimore, or whoever else. They would take full advantage of that penalties. But obviously, the winless Saints. And then I want to ask her, what's up with Curtis Samuel? Is he back on the roster? Is he on the IR, or what is he? What's going on with Samuel? I know he played yesterday.
Yeah, he played yesterday. He had been a healthy and active for the first 3 weeks. And thanks for the call, Ryan. He had been a healthy and active for the first 3 weeks. They had all six receivers up yesterday as Brandon Codrington was the guy that sat down. And they had Curtis Samuel on kick return yesterday with Ray Davis mostly for most of the game. And they had Khalil Shakir handle punt returns. Codrington's punt return average is down this year. He was up around 12 last year, and I think it was in the top five in the league, because 12 is a very good average on punt returns.
That's excellent.
This year, he's at like 5.3. So performance matters if you want to have a jersey on game day, and I think they just wanted to try something different, see if it would work any differently with any more success. And, you know, Shakir has done it before, so it's not like they were putting – an absolute neophyte back there. Curtis Samuel, however, he hasn't returned kicks in a while. I didn't look it up, but I know it's been some time since he's returned kicks. I'll have to go back and check when I have a chance here during the break. But I think they're trying to see if there are some other areas where Curtis Samuel might be able to help them.
Yeah, they tinkered with the roster yesterday at the skill positions with Codrington and Samuel. Now, Codrington, and we talked about this in the preseason, if you remember, Codrington is a defensive back by trade. And obviously, Curtis Samuel is a wide receiver by trade. That changes the dynamics of your roster.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase, and we host Jeremy and Joe, your daily destination for Buffalo sports talk. All Bills, all Sabres, all the time. Did you know that Jeremy and Joe is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for Jeremy and Joe, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Tunnel screen to Shakir. Works his way through a tackler. Stays on his feet. Breaks away from another. 20, 10, 5. Khalil Shakir. Slippery as ever. Play clock at one. Hand off to Kamara, who is slammed and dropped by the rookie, Deion Walker.
It's Mike Shope.
Orbit motion. It's a reverse. Alave going Philly special. And it's intercepted by Cole Bishop. At the two-yard line and up the sideline he goes. What a play by Cole Bishop.
And the Bulldog.
Fakes the handoff to Cook. Allen going to run it, tucks it, and he reaches the goal line. The Beast has been released as he takes it in on a five-yard touchdown run. Fakes the throw to the flat. Looks down the sideline. He's got Kincaid, who's going to walk it in for a 23-yard touchdown.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Football Monday on WGR brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. You worried for us? Are you worried for the good people of Western New York and your friends, your family, our listeners, our colleagues? Are you worried for the whole scene?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I don't know how we're going to make it to January here. I'm afraid we're not going to make. I mean that's obviously hyperbole. Maybe all of us won't. I mean, you know, something could happen, but not that I'm predicting that. But I don't. I think the fan base is going to lose its mind by January.
Why?
I just think these wins are like they're not enough. I think the wins are not enough. I think we're bored. They're just like sitting back, going, "I don't know, it's not good enough."
Well, I guess am I allowed to be of two minds about that?
Of course.
Like I think this is probably most people, and we'll see if it's the angel or the devil that wins out, mm-hmm. right? Like. This goes back a few years now where, yeah, you want to see them blow out the likes of the Saints. And you might think they should. You know, I mean, it was 15 and a half points. But they win by 12 instead. And it's not like it was closer than that. I mean, it was a close game. It was a good game. I don't know. I think, you know, win's a win. Kind of like you're talking about the season largely. And you still have Allen. You know, you have some injury stuff, but you don't have the likes of maybe what Baltimore's facing or who knows, whatever else around the league, Carolina, like just teams that might seem like they're already undone. And so this isn't that. So, you know, Suns out, 4-0, division looks easy. Maybe not New England. We'll talk about them all week. We'll see. Looks good. I do, defensively, it's a good thing, I think, if you want to be optimistic, that they have a few impact players who are out. Because if they didn't have, if they had the full complement yesterday or against Miami, I mean, Oliver and Milano missed Miami too. You got the suspended guys. We'll see what they look like. You got Hairston. We'll see what he looks like eventually. Maybe there'll be some news on some or all these guys today. But that can make you feel better. It should make you feel better about what it is, because what it is without them does not look good.
No, that's entirely fair. I think I made that point last week, maybe last Friday after the Miami game on Thursday. Like, what's my overall on them? I think they have a chance to actually improve as the season goes on because of the youth some of the youth that is playing, especially on the defensive line right now. That is an area where they will get replenished with Hoyt and Ogunjobi coming back in a couple of weeks with veteran guys. But the rookies, I think, are still going to matter, especially like Walker, who I'm very high on. Sanders flashed a couple times yesterday, but also got just manhandled. That's been really the ride with him so far. So, yeah, I mean, I think any criticism of the defense is almost, especially early yesterday, they really did stabilize as the game went on. It was just hard to... The Bills never pulled away, even though the defense sort of stabilized. Like, one, you know, after the half, the rushing defense really buckled down. I think they were getting gashed to the tune of 7 yards a carry or something in the first part of the game. And in the second half of the game, maybe under four. And it's not like New Orleans was ever so far behind that they had to abandon what they were doing, you know, until really the end when the Bills, you know, got their field goal and, you know, they've got their 12-point margin.
Easy for me to say this, but generally speaking, I don't think this, and relatively speaking, I don't think the Saints are a team where you have to overcompensate against the pass and be more vulnerable against the run. Like, this should have been job one in this game.
Yeah, that's why it's so alarming that it was as bad as it was.
They're 31st in the league against the run.
Yeah.
So far.
Yeah.
And that won't change tonight. The four teams playing tonight will not, unless somebody just completely blows up, Breece Hall or something. Yeah. They're probably going to still be second. Yards allowed. They're number one against the pass. And, you know, Lamar Jackson's pretty good. Tua's had his moments. You know, they're not just playing the Spencer Rattlers of the world.
They might
the world.
Still, yeah. Yesterday would have to qualify as, I don't know, not a game, like you said, that I should be worried about taking away the pass. But we have prioritized that, I think.
Properly.
Yeah, because the Bills have properly prioritized it. They haven't been that worried about getting run on. But if it's the only thing you think a team can hurt you with, then, you know, I'd like that to be better. And it's, you know, it's not to me, I don't necessarily see them, I see them making mistakes that aren't necessarily like brought on by their opponent, you know? They're getting on the wrong side of guys.
Tackles.
And missing tackles when they have opportunities. And, I mean, the one touchdown run yesterday, there's a fill in the hole, and I don't know if it was Rapp or a linebacker, but somebody misses badly. Like, he's squared up, he's got him, and he just misses it. And then Trey White barely makes an effort to get off the block he's on. To me, that play looked like he wanted no part of that dude running at him, honestly. But there's a lot of there's a lot of blown fundamental things that are happening, which, you know, again, maybe that's a function of a lot of the youth that they've got on the field. But, you know, I was listening to Chris and Steve on the way in, like I often do today, or on most days I do, but today I was listening again, and they were talking about how Bosa was out of position a number of times early on in the game. And that's not inexperience, you know? I mean, it's a new guy in your offense, I guess, or excuse me, in your defense, but, I mean, that's a 10-year veteran. So it's not like he should be someone that is hurting you from a fundamentals standpoint, and yet he has at times. He's flashed enough as a pass rusher to still feel good about him, but there have been some glaring mistakes.
Yet,
they're 4-0.
4-0, 31 points again. Like, what can you say? It's interesting to hear how people want to attack this. You know, like, is it just going to be a cakewalk all the way? I mean, at least until the playoffs, maybe. Like, there are these issues, but they never lose in turnovers. I mean, I'm thinking about it all the time watching these games. All right, is that plus one? Is that minus one? Are they at risk of is the streak at, you know, in peril? Any of that? And how about how it's going around them? I mean, Baltimore is down pretty bad. It's Baltimore, Kansas City, and all right, well, somebody's got to lose, or it could have been a tie. Somebody's got to lose, and I don't know, like they're probably still both really good. The Ravens, though, Jackson's hurt, and defensively they're in shambles.
Yeah, we got a lot of guys out.
And they're a sieve, too. Like, it's just,
yep.
They're holding up better than, or worse than this team is.
That game going the way it went maybe was one of the most stunning things that's happened in the league so far this year, I would say. That it was just so easy, it looked like, for Kansas City to do what they wanted. And that Baltimore simply could not punch with them offensively. I mean, they just could not keep up. You were saying, I think this was on the air, we don't talk off the air on a Sunday when I'm working at home and you're in here, but Jackson didn't look right. And, you know, then suddenly there it is, like, you know, in the second half of the game, he comes out with a hamstring injury. Maybe that was bothering him all along, and it just never, you know, never missed any practice time, so there was never any injury report or anything. But he didn't look like himself, I don't think, to either of us watching the early part of that game.
Well, I thought it was true last week.
Okay.
Too.
See, I didn't notice it last week.
I mean, Detroit sacked him 7 times.
Oh, that's right.
You know, like, did, yeah. Why? How? Was it even possible? I mean, even in the opener, when he took off against the Bills, he looked like Lamar. I mean, he looked like he looks. He's, I don't know, the whole story. Like, he's changed. Not, I don't know if this happened this year, but he's messed around with his weight over the years. You know, like, one year he put on weight, then he took off weight, and he's trying to find the right balance. I don't know. Very strange. You never really saw him get hurt yesterday. But then the body language is terrible. He gets to the sideline, he throws his helmet, got Derrick Henry throwing his helmet 1 week, Jackson throwing his helmet the next. He never got up. Like, nobody talked to him. He just sat there, and, like, then he was done. And John Harbaugh today said he was not going back in. Like, the injury was the reason he was not going back in, but just did not look like it looks.
No, right.
When it comes to that stuff. So, very strange. Now they have Houston, and he might miss. The thing about the Ravens is, and I was listening to Sam and Joe this morning point this out, so you've got the Bengals who play tonight, and they and the Steelers were sort of like the second choice about in that division. And the Steelers look pretty good, I would say, in their win. So you've got Pittsburgh at 3-1 and looking like Pittsburgh. You know, I tweeted yesterday, this is just another one of these Steeler games where they're going to win and we're going to talk all week about how stupid they are. But who's stupid, maybe, because they just win these
games.
They
get away with it.
And we'll see if the Bengals can put up a fight in Denver. The Ravens are -500 to make the playoffs.
Still, wow.
Right now.
Even at 1-3 with all these injuries. That really says a lot about what
and
you know people think of the other teams in that division.
And -200 to win it.
The division.
Yes.
Is Pittsburgh ahead of them now?
No, they're the favorite.
They're the favorite at minus
pretty
200.
Pretty solid favorite.
Wow.
Minus 200. $20 to win 10 on Baltimore to finish first. I mean, no thank you, but
like,
the market still seems to think that it's a pretty thing.
But, enough time for them to get right.
Yeah, and there is.
Yeah, but they need to be healthy in order for that to happen, I think. But, right? I mean,
they need to be healthy and I'll say again, off the Lions game on Monday night, what is Derrick Henry right now? And now you have what is Jackson right now? You had that Monday night too, I guess, but like Henry had a great game here and nothing since. And the game here ended in the fumble. I'm not sure he took another snap after that. And nothing since. Like there's just no efficiency
right
from their running game, which is weird. Like that's new with him and them.
On the other side, Kansas City showed up yesterday. I mean, that again, Baltimore's ravaged by injury, and maybe they were, you know, an easier mark than we would have expected. But, you know, Xavier Worthy led them in rushing, which isn't probably what you really want, but led them in rushing and receiving. First game back after suffering an injury that, you know, I thought would last longer than this even.
He led them in rushing on, I think, 2 carries.
Right. He had one big one for like 30-some yards and then something else, and yeah. So it wasn't like, he wasn't getting the ball. He's not a running back. I hope most of us are aware of that.
Sam was right about that. He thought Worthy would make a huge difference there and right away, and he did. I think he did. Well, one thing that we were in the middle of a conversation on postgame yesterday when Sean McDermott walked in, and when he goes, the mandate is we go to him. So we just, whoever's, if somebody's on the phone, we dump it. We're talking, we stop talking. It's McDermott. Whenever we have him, we go to it live. And a caller was talking about the tush push, like the Bills, I think, like the Bills weren't, why aren't they, you know, they had a sequence yesterday, second and short through fourth and short, and didn't run Allen. The fourth down play as a pass, that little pop pass to Shakir, you said how, it was close to working,
but yeah, it did not work. Yeah.
And what I was prepared to say, I mean, I slipped in a line because we were just talking about how I just brought up how last year, or even the year before, I think it was last year though, Brandon Bean had a comment that stuck with me in the early in the offseason about Josh Allen and rushing, and you know, if it's week two, maybe we make a different choice. And I know yesterday was week four, but I referred to it like because we had just referred to it yesterday on the show. Like, it's why aren't they doing more like Allen running? Maybe because it's week two every week. You know, like the year where Dorsey got fired, they didn't want, maybe that was the year. They didn't want to run him, and then they were 6-6 and like, all right, well, we,
it was time to go.
Now we have to win every game.
Right.
So they did much more of it. So I think we talk about with this schedule, are the Bills holding stuff back? I don't know if they're holding stuff back. They might be. I think every team to a point might be holding like stuff back, but you sort of have a long-term game plan for your season, and as you hit turbulence, you might end up sort of, well, just like the Allen point from 2 years ago, like, all right, we got to go. So I think teams can do that, and this would be a classic team for that because of all of it, how much they've won, what the division looks like, the lead they have now, all of it, and who you're playing.
Right.
I don't know if they're doing that. I do think, though, they're dabbling with different players and different situations. We've seen that a few times this year where, even in terms of who was active yesterday, right? I mean,
right. Look at Samuel. Samuel up, and he's right. Did he not catch the first pass of the game, maybe even? Like, it was very early they went to him anyway. Yeah. I don't know if it was the first reception of the game.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I'd be exaggerating that. But either way, I mean, that was notable. Yeah, I wonder. Like, I would understand. I mean, halfway through the Chiefs playoff loss last year in the AFC title game, I remember thinking, because they got stopped one time, and I thought, man, I wonder if they're going to go away from this because they're shook. And they stayed with it, and ultimately, you know, I know we can argue about whether he had that last first down or not, but, you know, they got stopped enough that they didn't get a first down on it. And yeah, is that something they're just shying away from in general, or are they waiting? Because maybe they used it so much last year that Kansas City found an antidote, right? It's their version of it had been up to that point just about as unstoppable looking as Philadelphia's had been, but Philadelphia's still going, and the Bills sort of hit a wall in January in Kansas City in the title game last year. And I wonder if they're just sort of don't want it to be as frequent this year, so that if they really need it in a big spot, they'll know we can go to it, and maybe teams won't be as studied up on it, which kind of would surprise me because these people have brains too. Anybody they're playing in January could be thinking the same thing. Like, well, I haven't seen the tush push on tape much this year. Whatever. Get ready for it. Let's go to school on what KC did to them last year. I wonder if they're waiting to unveil something different. Instead of, you know, even just subtly changing it. Didn't the Eagles get some credit yesterday for doing something a little different on it?
They basically ran a fake. The Barkley touchdown is basically a fake tush push play.
Okay.
It might have even been fourth down, but it looks like you know what's coming. Maybe the announcer even would have said it, and it wasn't what was coming.
Right.
Like, they pitched it out to him, and he walked in. So, he's something different. You mean like maybe like going right?
Going a different way instead of going continuously to the left.
Yeah. I mean, I want to give them some benefit of the doubt here, whether that's even a good example or a correct example or not. I think there is some of this happening with them. You know, Bishop playing the whole game against the Jets when everybody else came out. Let's just, you know, we're way ahead. Let's use this and focus on him, give him more reps, all that kind of stuff. Samuel for Codrington. They know the point spread, right? Like, is that going to be something? It's a veteran, too. Like, it's somebody that,
right.
In that example, you probably feel like you can trust. Maybe you just don't necessarily think he's your best option, but, you know, here, let's do it. So I think there's some of that going on. Might not be the kind of thing they admit, because all this is always predicated on, you know, your best guys at all times. Everybody's doing their absolute best at everything always.
No team is ever going to tell you they're holding stuff back.
Because they played New Orleans.
Right. There's never, ever, ever going to admit that. If indeed it is even right. I mean, we're just supposing here.
And they do rotate on the defensive line, you know, all the time. But, you know, here is a season so far where you have rookies, right? And you have the luxury, I would say. Of course, now you're getting run on like crazy, and Oliver's hurt, and it might not be the luxury you want it to be. And this game was losable. I mean, New Orleans is down 21-19 in the fourth quarter before the Kincaid play. They kicked the field goal after the overturned touchdown Cooks.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the short drive to the Kincaid touchdown, and that's pretty much the ball game there. Football Monday on WGR. Let's go to Kyle here. Hi, Kyle.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Good. Thank you for calling.
Hey, first of all, what a day. Like, I was there yesterday with my son for his first game, and it was beautiful. I mean, the game, not necessarily, but beautiful day. So
sure.
A couple quick thoughts. You guys have already hit on a bunch of them, but I'll just rattle them off. We seem to have a problem with running quarterbacks, defending those. It does seem like Josh is turning down open 10-yard runs, and I think he's being coached to do that. There was a couple yesterday where he had the first down clearly. Instead, he threw a contested ball to Knox, I think, twice. One to Kincaid, one to Knox. But we're looking at that and like, that didn't have a chance. But then, like, some positive notes, because I do think I am a silver lining guy on this, and I do think we're getting a ton of good reps for some inexperienced players. Jackson Hawes is blocking people down the field 20 yards every other play. Yeah. You guys talk about it every week, and obviously I watch it from TV, but to see it in person,
yeah.
I mean, that dude is a man among boys. And I turned to my buddy one time, I go, did you see, like, it was a good play by, I'm not sure who it was, I think maybe it was Cook, but instead I'm just watching 85 blocking a dude 20 yards down, and he was mean about it too. So I think we found something there. And then two more real quick is I think Bishop is ascending a little bit, and it's not just a pick. I was just watching him a lot, and he seemed to be in better spots. So I hope my eyes aren't lying to me there. And I do really feel like Deion Walker is, you know, he just continues to make plays. I think maybe 3 or 4 times yesterday.
Yeah.
That was Walker again.
Yeah.
I mean, He is the stud.
He is the stud of this draft class. I mean, it's tough. You know, Harrison hasn't had a chance yet because he's been hurt. We don't know when he's coming back. But he's outplaying, and I don't think it's even particularly close, the second round pick Sanders. Sanders did flash a couple times yesterday. It was a really good rep on a pass play where he got very quick pressure that led to a sack. So it's not like he's not doing anything, but Walker. And there are still misses there, but I feel like there's just more hits. And, you know, to what Mike said very early in this conversation about getting guys back, Walker and Oliver together. Like, if Walker can handle the Daquan Jones role, like that, I think by, again, assuming good health for everyone, and Daquan Jones, I think, had a decent day yesterday overall. But I think Walker and Oliver are your two guys. There in the middle, and they have not had a chance to really do anything together yet, and I'm eager to see that. I wonder if the Bills are.
Thanks, Kyle. We'll talk some more after a break. Eric Wood at 4 today. Sal Capaccio will join us shortly thereafter. Fill us in on what news we might get in terms of IR and roster changes. Bills have lost their punter, it would seem, for some period of time, so we'll check in on Sal in a little with Sal, and maybe on Sal.
I was with Sal on Saturday. Assuming nothing happened yesterday to him, although
he's sufficiently checked in on.
I feel like I'm confident he's going to be okay.
Good.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase. Did you know that Jeremy and Joe is both a radio show and a podcast? You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever it works for you.